Good evening, Nightmare Society. A big thanks to the producers of this week's episode, Danielle Newhouse, Ginger Cornejo, Kat Ohala, and Mike to the D. Thank you for keeping the podcast going and being an official member of the Nightmare Society Members Only Campfire. I also want to thank you listeners, as last week we reached 100,000 downloads, which for me was extremely exciting, and it's all because of you. I'm always hearing about how people have subscribed because of someone telling them about the podcast, and or they have shared the podcast with everyone they know. So I know this podcast has grown primarily because of you all. So thank you so much. Many of you have been asking about merch, and I promise that has been and is in the works. I actually posted a couple of samples on the Nightmare Society Members Only Campfire yesterday to get some feedback. So we should at least have some Nightmare Society t-shirts available within the next week. Speaking of the Members Only Campfire, don't forget to check that out at patreon.com/nightmaresociety if you're interested in bonus content, early access, and commercial-free episodes, as well as the ability to have some input on the podcast. I'm planning on releasing some special edition merch only available to the Campfire members as well. Lastly, but certainly not least, I wanted to give some shout-outs to people who've taken the time to reach out or leave reviews, which I greatly appreciate. Alicia2000, Jerome Bonroy, Rome, the BF Bahia KN, Riddix, Kick Me Bra Nahik Kubi, Aunt Lori, Skylar7551, and VGLVZ. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
I began babysitting at 13 to earn extra money to spend on horribly embarrassing things like Fall Out Boy CDs. I would almost always work for my dad's clients, he's a lawyer, and get referred by word of mouth. I was babysitting for this one family who had a little girl, 9 years old, and a little boy who was 7. The parents seemed okay, if a tad crotchety, giving me a full schedule to follow and jokingly threatening to beat any boy who might mysteriously show up after they left. It felt cruel for them to accuse me of even knowing a boy, given I basically look like an overgrown baby with frizzy hair at that age. Almost immediately after the parents leave, the little girl sings in a creepy, high-pitched voice. Rightio. Cue the Shining soundtrack.
I know.
The little boy chimed in.
Let's play rape.
Looking back now, I know the kid probably just heard the term on TV, knew the word was shocking, and said it just for a reaction. I totally bought into it at the time, sputtering wide-eyed and changing the subject quickly. These kids were hell for the next hour. I wouldn't let them watch South Park on the TV because their parents did not seem like the type to allow their precious 7 and 9-year-old to watch a show like that. As soon as I said no, the little girl said casually,
"Oh, that's fine. We'll just go play PlayStation in the family room. Feel free to watch it out here."
LOL, nope. I knew exactly where that was headed. I said they could watch any other TV show in the living room while I made them dinner. The parents had left instructions to make them sandwiches. I could handle that. Before I even got out the bread, I hear a massive crash. It seems like the little girl has broken a glass. tutting and pissed, but ultimately, with no way to punish her, I cleaned it up while these two incredibly weird kids watched with wide eyes. Dumping the broken glass in the trash, I went back to making the sandwiches. I'm a vegetarian, so while the kids had chicken, I had made a simple salad one for myself. Just as I was finishing, the little boy screamed out in what, even from my hyper-vigilant state as an accountable teenage babysitter, sounded like a pantomime of pain. Nonetheless, I ran over to the couch in the living room to check on him.
"My ankle!"
he howled, dramatically flopping back onto the couch. While I tried to figure out how he had, quote, hurt his ankle, the little girl slipped out of the room. Peripherally, I was aware of this, but didn't pay it any mind, focused on this little boy pretending to be in pain. He just kept saying,
"I went to stand, but it hurt too much. I don't know.
Over and over, until his eyes suddenly flicked to just behind me, where I could see the little girl standing with a perturbing smile on her face. He was miraculously healed. Yeah, praise the Lord. At this point, I was just thinking these kids were really, really weird, craved attention a little too much, and probably needed more parental involvement. Whatever, I was 13 years old, and that $60 was only 4 hours away. I set out the sandwiches for the two to eat at the dining table, went to get us a soda, and returned. After pouring the soda for both of them, I realized they hadn't even taken a bite of their sandwiches yet. I asked them what they were waiting for. They smiled.
You first!
I am so glad I had the gut feeling to open the top part of my bread on the sandwich. Because when I did, I saw glass. Broken glass. Broken glass that I had put in the trash. I stared in horror at the two little kids staring at me with menacing twin grins. I completely lost it, shouting,
"Are you serious? At the very least, you could have really injured my mouth. What's wrong with you two?"
Instead of crying or apologizing or pretending to be ashamed or confused, these two little psycho brats began laughing. Not like kids. It was too low. It wasn't that silly, free laugh that kids laugh. It was low and threatening. I'll never forget that noise. My immediate reaction was that these kids are too young to be laughing like that. I called my older sister, who was 17 at the time, cried about what had happened, and she came and took over for me. We left the house with chills after the parents arrived. I never babysat for those two again. What I can't get past is the level of premeditation that went into sprinkling that broken glass in my sandwich, and the totally remorseless way they responded to me getting upset. They were unlike any two kids I've ever met before. A quick shout out to Best Fiends for sponsoring this week's episode. For those of you who aren't familiar, Best Fiends is a game where you can collect characters, build their strengths, and use them throughout the different puzzles you encounter. As I've gotten further into the game, I'm almost at level 200, by the way, they continue to introduce new challenges and tools, such as little missiles, which I personally love. I particularly like that I can squeeze in a game here and there when I just need a mental break throughout the day. It doesn't even require the internet, so I can play it literally whenever I want. So, engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. This took place 2 summers ago in the hometown of the Cowboys. Now, I am aware of human trafficking in this city. I had a coworker pulled out of work and put in a safe house by the FBI because she finally decided to rat on her family. However, I never thought they randomly snatched people up. In all the stories I'd heard, they used drugs or coercion. So, 2 summers ago, I'm cycling up to a smoke shop. It's kind of out of my way and not in a great neighborhood. But I'm fairly confident. It's daylight. I ride all over the city and I know the store. I was 24, short, had short pink hair, but always considered myself too intimidating to kidnap. I forget that even if I am a veteran, I'm also just a small girl on a bike. I pull up to a crosswalk and I'm waiting for the light when 2 guys start catcalling me from a windowless white van. No identification, no stickers. Even the way they yelled at me was weird. It wasn't the typical,
"Hey, nice booty,"
locker room BS. They would talk to each other and then yell through a cracked window saying,
"We're gonna get you. You're next."
It felt off, like they were anticipating. But I just flipped them both off and rode away. End of story, right? Over a mile later, I'm right around the block from my destination. To set it up, there was a massive empty lot. Really more like 2 lots on my right. That was the side I was riding down. To my left, there was a back fence of a very, very old and probably abandoned house. It was like that all around. Mostly drifters or old people in poverty. A few trap houses. The point is that there was no one else visible. And even if there was, and they had seen what was happening, they wouldn't have said anything for their own safety. I'm pedaling along when the album I'm listening to ends, and I think, I'm almost there, I'm not gonna stop and fumble with my phone. This saved my life. As I'm thinking this, a white van pulls up on my left, and stays right inside my peripheral. They revved the engine a few times and tried to spook me, but something told me not to move. Don't let them know that you know. So I acted like my music was playing and pedaled a little faster. Up ahead of me was a brick wall to my left, and a tall tree over it, before a quick alley entrance. Suddenly they punch the gas and pull up in front of me, stopping next to the brick wall. They were trying to corner or funnel me, putting me in a position where I had to ride between their door and the wall. This all happened in a span of maybe 7 seconds. I honestly didn't feel panic. I didn't actively register any fear or sweat or anything. It was like someone much calmer took over my body and was like, "Nope." I remember instantly crossing the street without even thinking about the movements or why. As I pedaled up the other side, I realized this was the van from before, and now it has a window repair magnet on the side. It's too small to look good and has absolutely no contact information, just a generic name. I kept rubbernecking and see that there was no one in the front, but there was movement behind the seats. The guys were in the back by the door. They had planned to literally drag me off my bike, off the street, and do God knows what. Once I was past, they scrambled into the front seat and pulled out so hard they burnt rubber. I got to the store safe, but I still hate myself for not taking the plate number. Not that it would do any good. They would probably just switch it out later. I knew I had almost been kidnapped and maybe killed or worse. But it wasn't till I told the story to someone from Mexico that I found out it was traffickers. They said it sounded sadly familiar and happens all the time where they're from. I have no family and my roommates are just roommates. I would have been gone for 3 to 7 days before anyone decided something was wrong. Even then, they would have just known I left on my bike and vanished. I would have been across the border or dead before anyone even knew I was gone. So, human traffickers, let's not meet. So basically one night about 2 years ago, me and two of my friends were driving home from getting some food. We saw red and blue flashing lights behind us, obviously assuming this was the police. Amy, who was driving, didn't feel safe pulling over where we were considering it was the middle of the night, and the street we were on and the ones near us had no street lights. So we slowed down, but continued on. My other friend Ashley came to a conclusion that it couldn't be a real police car behind us, because it looked like a crappy old small car. The car then started to speed up and passed us in the opposite lane. We then decided to call 911, and when we did, the dispatcher confirmed that there were no squad cars near our current location. She told us to stay on the phone and someone was coming out to us right away. Then the car tried cutting us off and passing us again. Finally, a real police car came. We pulled over, but the other car sped off and was chased by the real police. We never found out what happened or who they were. So, poser policemen, let's not meet again. Well, I'm definitely staying home for the weekend. If you have your own true horror story you'd like to share, I'm always looking for more content. You can send your story to Nightmare Society Radio @gmail.com. And don't forget to also check out our members-only campfire at patreon.com/nightmaresociety. And please be sure to share us with your like-minded friends and family. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.